Last year, I didn't buy anything. I could not find the right numbers. Okay. I could not. So answer your question, Mark, we take a lot of time underwriting the deals. We underwrote maybe 100 deals last year, by the way, 100 deals, cool. You know, but didn't make sense. Did not make sense. We're not going to buy just because of buying it. You know what I mean? But yeah. We bought two in 2017. But I can tell you the research I did in Atlanta, my one deal is selling today, right now, 15 million 400 signed contract. I paid $10,150 for it.
You're listening to the Appraiser Secrets Podcast with your host, Mark Jackson. You will get straightforward advice for how to make a profit on every new transaction that you do, compounding your net worth and growing your wealth substantially all through real estate. Get more information at appraisersecrets.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Appraiser Secrets Podcast, powered by Investor Comps. My name is Mark Jackson. You can call me MJ. It's a pleasure to have you here. I've got the pleasure, the honor of having a splendid guest, a gentleman that basically really doesn't need much introduction. Vinny, thank you. Vinny Chopra, thank you so very much for being with us here today.
Thank you, Mark. It's such a pleasure. I'm very thrilled to be here. Thank you.
There we go. Vinny and I happen to be in a mastermind, GoBundance, together, a group of guys that are really about extreme accountability, significant life experiences, and certainly taking advantage of having great core character, but doing business at a very high level as well. We met well over a year ago, have continued to stay in touch, and I just thought it was really good for someone that's so skilled at doing syndications, those opportunities, that we can take our capital and put it to work in different venues and actually get significant returns back from them, because we don't need to be a jack of all trades. We just need to know people that have different trades. I think that'd probably be the best way. So, Vinny, again, I can't thank you enough for taking time and being here with us. Let me do this. I basically just want to kind of go through, share with folks a little bit more about you, your bio, and then just want to get in some questions. Let's have some fun and really explore this dynamic of syndications, because we know that we still, on any deal that we're looking at, there's these things we come back and we want to know that the value's there, that you're buying at a discount, that there's upside, there's something that's going to make that property go from a B plus to an A, or from a C plus to a B plus, that type of thing. There's always a valuation play, and that's what my clients are looking for, to be able to take and apply appraiser secrets to all the deals that they do.
I love it. I've got some great things and real deals to share with you, because I sold one in January. I would love to take your audience with that. And I sold one in February, sold two last year, and I'm selling two more. So actually sold three last year. So there is like several of these value add deals. I would love to share the real examples.
Perfect. Vinny, I mean, I think that folks are already getting a sense that literally what would be your nickname absolutely positively applies.
Mr. Smiley. A lot of people call me Mr. Smiley, Mr. Enthusiasm. Mark, I came from India with $7 many moons ago, and I'm an engineer, mechanical engineer, and I did my MBA in marketing from George Washington, sold books, encyclopedias, door-to-door, Bible books, and then cut my teeth into sales and marketing, and stayed with the one company, very great company from Tennessee. And then I became a broker. I'm a real estate broker in the San Francisco area, but I didn't want to open up a shop, but I just wanted to become investor. But, we have limited funds, right? I did too back then, 14 years back, almost that time. And then I said, I was introduced to the world of syndication, and that has changed my life and my world and everything, which is essentially pooling of money together in legal ways so that there is no Ponzi scheme, where the SEC ruling, Securities and Exchange Commission rules and regulations govern all us syndicators. So it's pooling the money to buy bigger and bigger assets, any kind of commercial, could be shopping centers, hotels, industrial, multifamily, which is my specialty, like that.
There you go. Good stuff. So there's a couple of things. I mean, I love just the background you share, because that really got to your bio. And if folks can see that amazing smile that you have. A couple of things on investment philosophy, looking at markets and submarkets, deal flow. Let's kind of delve into the dynamics that really make syndications in multifamily or commercial, whatever case may be, kind of flow. So let me ask this question. And this has to do with investment philosophy. You know, again, any number of us, we've come to investing from wanting to leave our corporate job, or maybe having bought one home, had to move. We kept that home rented out and we bought another one. That we didn't realize we were doing investing, but now we were. But to really expand our passive income portfolio, there's an investment philosophy. So would you take just a moment to kind of explain this value add philosophy that we mentioned a few minutes ago when it comes to the type of investing you do?
Oh, totally. Totally, Mark. You know, value add, essentially, see, in the single family homes, and we had a lot of them, by the way, scattered all over USA, and the property management companies take 7 to 10%, you know, of the rental income. And then they also gouge with the, you know, expensive contractors and, you know, all that. So at the end of the day, we were finding the cash flow was quite small. And if something boiler went out or some appliance went out, there goes the profit. So that's when I looked into multifamily apartments. It just made sense to have 20 homes scattered or have 20 units, 20 families living in a compound in a, you know, half an acre, 1 acre, a lot. And these are four buildings instead of having so many buildings, you know. So yeah, we had four roofs to take care of. We could hire a kind of like a, economies of scale come in when you talk about these kind of things with multifamily, part-time for 20 units. For 50 or 70 units, you could get a full-time technician, we call it. Technical, you know, HVAC, the air conditioning certified technical guy, or a leasing agent and a manager who could be part-time or full-time, depending on the number of units. But value add function comes when we buy the property at one time, right here, and we do a lot of research, find out that the management is bad or something because they were not managing the asset that correctly. The rents are low, we call it. Rents are lower than the market around properties in the same vintage when they were built. So that will be one component of value add, where we incrementally, we could give more amenities to the residents. We call residents our gold, not tenants. We never call tenants. They are our residents are gold. Investors are gold. They are the doctors, attorneys, all the people who have made great money in retirement and cash and savings, and they want to diversify their portfolio. So investors are gold, and the value add function comes several ways: by increasing the rents, by giving better, upgrading the fixtures, upgrading maybe fans, and putting like a cafe. We make a nice cafe with the curing machine, and we got some cookies and things like that. We got the dog park. We make some beautiful things for the media centers. Every Monil community, our company has Monil communities. That's our kids' name, Monica and Neil. We combine the two. So Monil Villas, we changed the name of all our communities to Villas also. So yeah, value add comes from giving a little bit more to the residents and increasing the rents. So increase in rents, RUP system. RUP, what is RUP system? It's utilities bill back, because like the water comes into the apartment complex with a big hose, master billing, but then all the individual residents use the water, so we can bill back the water. We can bill back the gas. We can bill back the trash. We can bill back the sewer, sewage charges, we call it. Electricity is already built back individually. So that's another value add function where lots of properties we purchase after a lot of thorough analysis and numbers and underwriting, we find these are the holes that the present owner and management company have not really taken care of. So we add value. What that means is we are increasing the income and reducing the expenses. That's all it is. Because if we increase the income with the utilities income, you know, for sewer, gas, trash, pest control and water, we can increase the income. We could do parking lot. We could charge for parking or covered parking. We can also, do amenities like we just mentioned, the fixtures in the bathroom. We can make them nicer. Or the plugs are with the USB plugs. Don't cost much, but they are very cutting edge. Or have a dog park or exercise room or media center. Residents feel that the new people buying in, new company, and we manage all our assets. That's the other good part. I'm the CEO of the acquisition company and also the management company. So that way, we just try to show to our residents that we like to bring more value and they don't mind paying $30 more per month, $50 yeah. more, $70 yeah. more. That yeah. increases the income. Now we reduce the expenses by, doing better marketing, making sure the turnover is less. That's yeah. the big thing. A lot of expense comes from turnover.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're lying. So here's the thing. You really laid out the dynamics on how that value add happens and the power of having multiple doors as compared to a bunch of little doors.
Yes.
Not that one is bad, it's just that there's a different dynamic.
Yes.
But here's the question. When it comes down to identifying markets,
yes.
with my people, this yeah. idea of how you identify, let's call it an emerging market, and then yes. what are some of the tools that maybe they could use to identify that for themselves as well?
Oh, totally. I would say that's the biggest thing. I take a lot of time before okay. I go into a market. Mark, yeah. we have to look at all the city demographic, citydata.org, demographics, all the reports on jobs, what different businesses are coming into that, path of progress we call. Another thing about that is in the metro area, like of Houston, for example, we will be looking at where the money is going to be spent more, where new Walmarts are coming, new Starbucks are coming. So jobs, jobs, and jobs. I've been in it for 14 years now, made 26 acquisitions. This will be the 27th one that I just was talking to the sellers. We are in the best and final for $33.4 million asset that we are thinking to buy. But all that comes going after the emerging market is the word. Emerging market where for the next 3, 5, 10 years, more jobs will be there. The neighborhood is not going to go down. It has to be like this or even on a go like that so that the demand, if the demand for renting will be higher, then we are able to have appreciation of the asset. Appraisal, right? Most of your audience are the appraising community. That is so wonderful in the multifamily. See, you cannot do appraisal that high in the other places like offices, for example. You mm-hmm. could do them, but you got locked in with the leases for 5 years or 10 years, and it's like 3% or 2.5%, just that right there. But for example, let me share with all your audience about this property I bought 4 years back okay. in outside of Houston, Sienna yeah. Villas. I paid $3,550,000. There were 16 units were burnt. And it is 156 units total, but 140 were working, but only one building was down. I call it that way, right? So okay. I built it back up. And I renovated the other prop, all that exterior, interiors, and the faucets, and the landings, and the swimming pool, value add, right? All right. that, changed the leasing office, put a corridor, made a cafe, all that, turned a C minus to a B.
Wow.
Actually, literally. And I sold it successfully in January for $8.5 million.
Ooh, whoa.
This is the real deal. This is the real example I'm sharing with your audience. And my investors doubled their money in just 4 years, more than double, actually 26 or 27% per year with the cash flow and the equity gain they made, which they were so happy about it. Then I sold another asset. I bought for $9.3 million, sold for $12.775 million. Right there in the Houston area. That's closed in February, last month. So my investors are just loving. And then we have sold quite a few other ones. Last year, we sold in Midland, Texas. That's the property we bought for 6 years and 3 months. We kept that property. Cornerstone Village, 120 units. Oh my God, you don't want to know this one, Mark. We gave 40% average return every year, 40%. So my investors who paid me $100,000, they got their $100,000 back last year, plus $240,000 on top of $100,000.
That's the beauty of taking a valuation-first approach to looking at, you know, multifamily or single family.
Yes.
And the beautiful part about that is that obviously your investors also made some monthly income along the way while that property's being held. So they were able to engage and participate passively and then great significant return on capital. So those are three just amazing deals. And we realize, you know, yes, we always want to have good results, but they're going to vary, that type of thing. But let me ask you this. I mean, we realize at the time of this recording, when we're talking this early spring of 2019, deal prices have changed, margins have tightened up a little bit, but in some cases, it's going to take a little bit longer maybe to solidify the next transaction. And so when it comes to deal flow, here's the thing I want to ask. If it might take a year, just say, you know, 6, 9, 8, 12 months to get a deal on the books that's in the target market that you think is perfect. How do you keep the brokers engaged, your investors engaged over that period of time without them losing faith in you?
No, I'm so glad, Mark. That's the other part in my academy. I teach all my tricks now. The biggest trick which I have in my up my sleeve is that I make sure I work with listing brokers. Only listing brokers, not buyer brokers at all. That's one thing I decided about 11 years back, 12 years back, and I give my commission because I'm a broker. I can get half the commission, but I give mine to the seller. So the seller is here, listing broker is here, I'm right here. The same listing broker becomes my buyer broker also. So they make double the money. I love that. And that's why I keep in touch with my brokers through texting every 10 days or in my case, because they know me now so much, they know I'm a performer. So every deal they get, even in the pocket listing, I call it napkin listing in my new book coming up, all that is because they don't even have a written contract. But then they share that with me. The $33,400,000 deal, I just got it. I texted 16 brokers just 2 weeks back, literally 2 weeks back today, Monday. I just got up 4:30 in the morning in San Francisco, and I was thinking, dreaming about it. I said, I need to send this out because I just returned $9 million to my investors in January and February. I'm selling another deal. Oh, my gosh. I got to kind of mix it together right now because last year I didn't buy anything. I could not find the right numbers. Okay. I could not. So answer your question, Mark, we take a lot of time underwriting the deals. We underwrote maybe 100 deals last year, by the way, 100 deals, you know, but didn't make sense. Did not make sense. We're not going to buy just because of buying it. You know what I mean? But we bought two in 2017, But I can tell you the research I did in Atlanta, my one deal is selling today, right now, 15,400 signed contract. I paid $10,150 for it.
Wow.
20 months back.
That's not a very long time.
Not at all. My other deal, 191 units, which I've been saying on my podcast, he's gone up in value by $5 million. I paid $12,200 something. It's worth $17 million something. The area where I bought it in Atlanta, movie studios are coming. Mm-hmm. Art studios, movie studios. It's becoming a Hollywood capital now. Atlanta is becoming bigger producer of movies than anywhere in the world. So I just purchased my assets strategically nearby there, and that's what happened. But let's just talk about, you know, like you were saying, deal finding. You got to be really spending a lot of time in doing research, Forbes magazines and Fortunes. And the best thing is Google. The biggest friend ever is the Google. If you say, you know, city of so-and-so, growth, economic growth 2019, people will find out articles like anything. Talking to Chamber of Commerce in that area, talking to the mayor, all these people, you know, business, Better Business Bureau, the building office, we need to also talk to them, look at the permits, how many are coming in, what is going to happen. So those different emerging market studies are needed to, because once we put 10 million equity in a place, oh my gosh, we are locked in for 5 to 10 years, you know, or 7 or 10 years. And then only as a syndicator, we have a very high level of fiduciary responsibility to guard the money, see, of the investors. My wife and I, we talk about it. We want to guard their money better than our money.
Yes, you know? Yes. And that's a really significant thing, because we enjoy doing business with folks that we know, like, and trust.
Right.
Totally. There's a bonding and a relationship to take there, because there's high integrity when it comes to these dynamics. And I love the way that you walk through, and, you know, you share these examples very transparently. No doubt you've talked about the names of the properties. If someone wanted to verify that they could.
Totally. Anywhere. Yes.
Yeah. Here's the dynamic. Those type of returns aren't possible with the type of analysis you do. So let me ask this question and then just run it down, kind of break it down for us. So, and I want everybody to know this applies, what Vinny's going to share, whether you're doing multifamily, single family, duplexes, quads, whatever the case.
So
there's general principles that come to analysis. So you get a call from a broker. You've then told a broker you've expressed your interest in the property, and they need to send you the numbers, okay?
Right.
One is, what numbers are they going to send you? Are you going to require? And then what's the process? How do you actually analyze those numbers?
I'm so glad you're saying that, Mark. That's my passion, really. My underwriting is the most comprehensive underwriting. I mean, everybody claims they have it. But, you know, my students tell me, they said, Vinny, you got it figured so much to the detail of controlling rents, concessions, loss of lease, the capex, the, you know, cap rates, the projections, because we look for the current rent roll. That's where we construct our everything. We don't take performa numbers at all that the brokers give us, right? We got to do it from our own, because detective, the biggest detective work we have to do is first the neighborhood, where it's located and how old the buildings are. If it's like in the 80s or 70s built, the the sewer lines have to be, camera has to go underneath, all the videos have to be made, the roofing has to be inspected, the foundations, every unit has to be inspected, due diligence, huge, environmental survey, everything like that. But the thing is that we want to make sure the numbers we have to marry are the right numbers. We see, by doing just a tweaking of the cap rate, we could just come up with so much differential and we can psych ourselves up. You could change few numbers and the numbers look good, but we need to underwrite it with the strictest conservatism, I call it.
Yes.
And things have changed. See, I used to buy properties with big cap rates, right? So they were cheaper. But in the last 2017, 18, and now 19, the cap rates have compressed, Mark, right? So we need to look at that. And then also the ratios that I used to give my investors, dear investors, my gold investors, it's higher. I give them more to make the numbers work. See, you know, so I may have to give even 80% in first year as we take over. Then when we burn the loss of lease, we call it, and then value add, then the numbers will go better 70-30, you know, or yeah, go to 65-35. So those are the things we can work on as we take over the asset, as we take over.
There you go. So that's been really good. And I like the way you broke down. You talked about some very specifics, the due diligence and the elements of due diligence, because those are going to give you the different numbers to look at. And it's important, folks, when you're going on LoopNet and stuff like that, the prospectus that's provided to you is rosy and pretty.
Yeah.
It shows everything that's going to be the great profit in the deal supposedly is already there. And with Vinny's knowledge and background, and, you know, again, we'll probably throw a little bit of that engineering background in
there. Yeah, logic. Yes.
Broken it down so that he knows what numbers to look at and the things that are going to impact a property. Okay. But let me throw this one at you, Vinny, because again, we're really covering some real core general principles to cover. Now, it's been talked about. It's in the air. There's any number of dynamics that have come off of the 45-day government shutdown and how that's impacted the economy. But the main thing that folks are talking about now is this: the market is going to correct itself. I mean, we're in that bell curve. It's been 8 years. Mm-hmm. We know historically every 8 years something's going to happen, so forth. I have my own take in the single family market as it relates to, again, breaking down neighborhoods, counties, cities, mm-hmm. the real advent of what single family lending products are out there. We realized that was probably the biggest challenge was the mortgage products, you know, 580 scores, fog up a mirror. You can get If those dynamics change, that will really impact the single family market. But as you're looking and doing your analysis, what are the elements that will be, you know, imminent items that say a correction is coming? And then how are you managing that on the future buys and syndications that you're going to do?
Very good question, Mark. Again, very nice questions. See, the biggest thing I find is that, first of all, we didn't buy anything in 2018 because everybody was, expectations were very high. To be truthful, from the seller perspective, the cap rates were shrinking. And the people who really bought, I think, in 2018 were some new investors coming into the market. Maybe some of the investors who are like us, who have bought, you know, a lot of deals, we stayed away because we didn't want to get into that rut of high valuation. But now it's inching it up. In the emerging markets that I'm looking at, and I would love to share with your audience, you know, it's Atlanta, big time, Chattanooga, Louisville, Kentucky, Jacksonville, Florida, Orlando, Tampa, Carolinas, you know, the Raleigh, Durhams, the Greenville, South Carolinas, beautiful places, Salt Lake City, Columbus, you know, Cincinnati, those are my areas, you know, and then Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth, not Dallas proper, San Antonio. So we are looking in all these areas because, and we are looking for these gold nuggets, see?
Yeah.
We are looking for some great assets which underwrite well. It's because they are just coming on the market and the brokers are letting us know, like this just happened with us.
Yeah.
12 offers came in, by the way, in this last 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
And then we were in the best in final with three people. And then we are in best with the seller's call with me just now, while back. Seems like we'll get it. We'll know in 1 hour or 2 hours. you know, but the thing is, sellers are looking for who are the performers who are not going to tie the property. Have they underwritten well? Those were the questions they asked me. Have I looked into the taxes, which is one of the biggest things? What's my capital, you know, CapEx budget, and what I'm planning to change? They are looking at that. My loan broker was on the call also. So they asked him, what's about the financing and all that? So sellers are looking for people who can close on time, you know. So answering your question, correction might be coming, but it's not going to be drastic. Just like what happened there in 2007 and 8, it will never be that. I would venture to say that's my prediction is, but it will be there, and the people who will have some kind of problem would be those who bought high LTVs, loan to value. One, the interest rate might go up one time this year, but I don't predict it's going to go too high. See, inflation is under control and everything, and the Fed is not going to try to mess it up, you know? So that's how I feel. But in single family, just like you said it, of course, the situation is much different in single family too. We're buying a brand new home. We just purchased a very high expensive. We were trying to get into it. Interest rate we got on a big jumbo loan, you know, millions of dollar loan for 3.75, 30-year fixed.
Wow.
I had to pay only $17,000 closing cost. Nothing like it. Oh my gosh, where would I get that kind of loan for 30-year fixed in this market right now?
Yeah. And again, it speaks to, I will just use the phrase, I mean, there is some still quantitative easing
yes.
that's still happening out there that's managing the dynamics as it relates to inflation, stuff like that. But overwhelmingly, I agree with you that multifamily, not some, maybe it's commercial to a degree, but certainly single family, we really won't see, quote unquote, the crash that took place unless there's just some really nasty mortgage products out there, the adjustable rates and the 100% financing. I do know FHA has actually got a new product out there now. We're doing 105% of LTV. And we got to be careful about
limits
and why they're even putting that product out there. It exists. It's already happening. But, you know, as sound investors, those that are looking for the value adds, those are going to be patient, not buy a deal in a whole year. And really make sure we position ourselves knowing that we're buying at the right price so we make a profit when we buy.
Nice.
Dynamic. Vinny, this has been a phenomenal time. I can't thank enough. I want to ask just a couple of questions. I know you shared, if you would, share a little bit about your podcast and then would also just some ways that folks can get in touch with you in the future so they can follow you, get some more information.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Thank you so kindly and congratulations on a great podcast. I appreciate being a part, small part of it. You know, I'm starting my own podcast, just would like to announce on motivation. I've been a motivational speaker. I've given over 10,000 speeches in front of 500 to 1,000 people, even higher than that. So it's a motivation talk show is the name of it. And I'll be coming out in about a month or 2 months launching it with a big bam. And then also my other podcast, I'm coming with two of them, by the way, is the Syndication Made Easy. That's the name. Syndication Made Easy is my other podcast, which I will not have any guest speakers at all. It's going to be all my teachings and what I've done, my experiences that we'll be able to put in weekly podcasts, which will bring meaning to the listeners. So I will hope that a lot of people will be able to look forward to listening to me every week so that they get really good nitty-gritty, the tricks of the trade, how they can crush it in all facets, right from determining the markets. So I'm going to take them through the whole process all through the year. And it'll be a mixture of several things. And then also, you know, every aspect that I know. And then management also. Because not only we purchase the assets, we raise the money, we manage the investors, We have accounting departments. I have 67 full-time team members in my companies, the two companies that I just started 4 years back. I have other two companies that I started about 12 years back. We are closing those down because we have sold 14 assets. Then my educational company is the fifth company. So that's the one which is multifamilyacademy.com. That's my domain name. And multifamilysyndicationacademy.com. Okay. And all people have to do is just text the word LEARN, L-E-A-R-N, LEARN, to 474747. It's a very easy way to reach my mastermind inner people, and we'll be able to give them a lot of great ideas. My website, vinichopra.com, is coming big times also. I'm sorry. I just wanted to put that in there. Yeah, Vinnie, V-I-N-N-E-Y, Vinnie Chopra, C-H-O-P-R-A, chopra.com. Love to impact a lot of youth and a lot of investors if they would like to learn about syndication. That has been my world. That has changed my life. And, you know, thank you so much for this platform.
No, that is absolutely outstanding. I love that you've been able to have multiple ways for folks to reach out and touch base with you. Vinnie, please allow me to invite you back again. There's so much more content that we can cover, dig, and go a little bit deeper. Everybody, again, we appreciate you being here. Certainly go ahead and subscribe if you're a first-time visitor to the Appraiser Secrets podcast powered by Investor Comps. Give us a like, and overwhelm me even more. Leave some comments. There's other topics that are going to be important to you that we certainly would like to cover in the future. Again, Vinnie, thank you for being here. God bless you. Take good care. I look forward to catching up with each and every one of these guests, as well as yourself, in the near future. God bless everybody. Take good care.
God bless. God bless.
You've been listening to another episode of the Appraiser Secrets Podcast with Mark Jackson. The place to be to create your freedom lifestyle with more time off, security, and peace of mind. Find out more at appraisersecrets.com.